It's Illume Group's Andrea Lay, Packed View's Melissa Burdick, the Wizard of Wooden Hill Shri, and I'm PVSB from Flywheel, a division of Omnicom. Before we get to the CPG Guys episode you've downloaded, it's the week of April 22nd, and of course it's time for the Fresh Four. Four curated news stories from the past week. We found them boundlessly intriguing. We hope you do too. Brought to you through our partnership with RetailWit, your one-stop shop for retail industry intelligence and news. RetailWit.com. It's retail right now. Leading off, Shri.
Thank you, Peter. And Amazon Live introduces a new shoppable ad-supported channel to Prime Video called Freevee, featuring 24/7 interactive content from celebrities and brands, leveraging its Shop the Show technology to enhance viewer engagement and boost its advertising revenue. At least that's the plan. The channel leverages Amazon's Shop the Show technology to enable viewers to easily purchase content seen on the TV screen via a mobile device. The CPG guys and I are excited to try this out, and we will report back how it performs back here in one of our blogs on the CPG guys. So I look forward to that. Over to you, Peter, for what's going on with Walmart Marketplace.
Thanks, Shri. Walmart Marketplace opens Omni service to auto sellers. Walmart is enabling customers to order eligible tires from Walmart sellers and have them shipped to a local Walmart store for easy installation at their auto care centers. Walmart sellers have added 12,000 unique items, including specialty tires, to provide nearly 40,000 marketplace offers that are installation eligible at 2,300 auto care centers around the country. The expanded tire selection complements Walmart's existing auto services that include accessories and battery services, while giving sellers more access to Walmart's omnichannel customer base. Over to you, Andrea.
Hello, Fresh Four listeners. Amazon begins offering Dash Carts to other grocers. Amazon has begun offering its Dash Carts to third-party grocers, expanding the checkout technology beyond Amazon grocery banners and Whole Foods market stores, according to a blog post from the company. Amazon introduces Dash Carts to non-Amazon grocery stores, starting with select locations in the Kansas City area. This rollout comes shortly after Amazon ceased its Just Walk Out technology in Amazon Fresh and Whole Foods. Customers using Dash Carts tend to spend 10% more, with over 80% of the transactions from repeat users, highlighting the cart's convenience and efficiency. Over to you, Melissa.
So Heinz has launched a new limited edition barbecue sauce. Heinz and Barbie lovers in Europe are in luck. A limited edition pink vegan mayo with barbecue sauce was launched to celebrate Barbie's 65th anniversary. Mattel and Heinz have unveiled the new Heinz Classic barbecue sauce. It will be available in the UK and Spain initially, and may be available elsewhere in the future. Additionally, there's 5,000 bottles of the new sauce available to purchase online, but they can only be shipped to the UK and Ireland. So for those of you in the US who are curious, you can do what I do and go to TikTok and search pink barbecue sauce, and you will find it.
Thank you, Melissa. That's it for the Fresh Four. Now on to the CPG Guys episode that you've downloaded. Welcome to another episode of the CPG Guys podcast. Our co-hosts, Shri Rajagopalan and Peter V.S. Bond, explore how brands and retailers engage with consumers online, in-store, and everywhere in between. And now, here are Shri and Peter.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the CPG Guys podcast. I'm Shri, one of the aforementioned CPG Guys, also lovingly known as the New York Yankees fan. I'd like to discuss branding, direct-to-consumer, omni-channel, retail P&L, connected commerce, retail media, and marketplaces. I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Bond, an expert at digital shelf content, retail success, customer data, insights, CRM, loyalty, the ever-optimist, less-than-five championships LA Dodgers guy who thinks they are the best baseball team on planet Earth. Less-than-five championships, again, to be repeated. I don't want to go to the single-digit real number that they have.
We have seven championships, Shri. Seven.
Welcoming
seven.
The man,
Brooklyn.
The golden voice himself, Mr. Bond.
Brooklyn, yeah, these erroneous numbers you're throwing out, I am totally fact-checking you. Yeah, we
Brooklyn
have seven.
Like
you need to work on that.
Brooklyn is history. That's like pre-independence era.
Jackie Robinson, they retired his number, Shri. Okay, we're going to move on. Shri, it is great to see you. I am really excited about today's guest because I think, you know, when I moved to Chicago, I went to work for a company that is considered one of their major competitors. And this particular space is a real interest to me. So I can't wait to talk to our guest about this. Very
about
anxious.
That. Peter and content, do they come together or what? Thank you, Peter. Before I get to our guest, yep. I'll remind our audience that you can find all our content easily on cpgguys.com. This includes our Founder Month Q1 through 2021 through Q2 2021, and our IGTV series, which is now running past series 4 or 4th season, 1Q1A. Our show's content is audience-driven, so of course we always appreciate your feedback on what you want to hear more about us. There's two ways you can do that. You can simply go to LinkedIn, and you can type CPG Guys on the search bar, and you can follow us by clicking the follow button, and make sure to stay in touch with everything, all the content we put out for you. Or go to ratethispodcast.com/CPGguys. Simply leave us a rating and review on the Apple platform. On to our episode. I think our audience knows that in this post-pandemic world, omnichannel retail is life at this stage. But for many, the efforts to build a meaningful online content ecosystem still feels a stretch and sometimes maybe out of reach. The reasons could be several, but it could be the focus on physical packaging and the low touch point for details at the physical shelf, or the inability to sometimes drive scaled image-like engaging content on a physical package. So what we've decided here is Peter and I are launching a three-part series in partnership with the team at Label Insight, which has developed a fascinating solution that helps CPG brands and retailers grow by connecting consumers to the product that best meet their health, wellness, and lifestyle needs. Our guest for the first part of this series is Todd Morris, the CEO of Label Insight. Todd is an industry veteran, having spent his earlier career running brands at Procter & Gamble, and later helping brands and retailers grow at performance marketing at Catalina, where he served as president just prior to coming over to Label Insight. Todd, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for having me. It's an honor. I've been a listener for a long time.
Todd, before we get to the question and answer session here for this podcast, would you please give our audience a quick summary of Label Insight's business, including where they can find it on the web?
Sure. So Label Insight is the world's leading product attribute metadata solution. So basically all of the buzzwords you hear about ketogenic, plant-based, sustainable, we're the company that monitors and observes all of that. And we power it to CPGs, to retailers, and to consumers. We power 30,000 different brands and hundreds of retail banners, even places like the FDA and the USDA all use this data to better understand products. So our website is labelinsight.com.
Thank you so much, Todd. Thank you for the overview indeed. Peter and I are actually quite intrigued by this business and the attribute data that you mentioned, and are looking forward to digging a little deeper with you. So let's move on to question number one. Take us through your business model and the journey of how Label Insights can actually add value to the CPG industry in general.
Yeah, I think it starts with really the consumer's need is getting increasingly complex and microscopic. Our core value is that we uncover product attributes for both retail brands as well as national brands to help make them more discoverable for consumers, but it also leads into what is the next product to make. So at the core, key retailers like Walmart and Target tell their brands, if you would like your product to be on the digital shelf, you need to submit your packaging graphics to Label Insight. We then decompress or deconstruct all of that and then give back to Walmart and Target and others attributes on those products that help make the products more discoverable for the consumers on those sites. And so that's the core, I guess I would call it the primary model, is where we started a retail first and then a building of syndicated brand network of content that then can power retailers as well as other brands.
Hey, Todd, thanks for joining us today on the podcast. It's terrific to have you here. As I mentioned in my intro, I've been aware of this space for about 4 years since I first moved to Chicago. I'm now on the East Coast, but I'd sure love to know from you if you look back at the origins of the organization, what were kind of the trends that were going on in the CPG industry that led to the creation? And what were kind of some of the core capabilities you thought could differentiate Label Insights from competitors?
Yeah, so our founding goes back well over 15 years in New Zealand. Our founder's father had a heart attack, and the doctor said something simple: follow a heart healthy diet. And our founder said, what's heart healthy? How do I find things that are heart healthy? And he realized there was no good way. And so he started reading the labels in stores. And then he started building an Excel spreadsheet, because how much sodium is all relative to how much of other things are in the product. So he built his own database. And so for many years, he would take pictures of products. He would maintain it in Excel spreadsheets. But at the core of it, it was a very human need, which is, I've got to live my life better, and I need to follow a certain diet regimen. Well, today, there are over 200 million shoppers in the United States alone who are on some type of dietary regimen, either due to an intolerance and allergy or through just a lifestyle goal. So, you know, today there are more people on a specialty diet or lifestyle than there are people with driver's license. So what was once a kind of a, I would call it a niche kind of need, which is specialty diet needs, is now extremely mainstream. And I think you add that to e-commerce and you put the two together and say people with very specific needs and now a place to search and query to find them creates a real unique opportunity. And that's what's propelled our company growth at such a lightning speed in the last couple of years.
Thank you for that, Todd. And now I'm going to get a little more deeper into the world of product attributes. Can you give us the 101 or the DNA of product attributes for our audience? And I really mean the 101 or the DNA of product attributes.
Yeah, I think we all know like the product attributes, and we grew up with things like the maybe the pack type, the category, the smell, the form. But today it goes a lot deeper, all the way to was it sustainably grown? How much sodium is there? Is it genetically modified? All of these unique levels or really deep DNA understanding of products is what we say when we say a product attribute. So in a high level, we track 24,000 attributes for every single package or bottle or box that's sold in a store. And that tells you everything about the ingredients, any marketing claim that's on that package, any certification, such as a verification of USDA organic or otherwise. So all of these things basically tell you at the very essence, what is this product? The unique capability that we have is that we can go beyond what is stated on the package to what is true, but not explicitly stated. As an example, we have a client who's a major chicken manufacturer, right? They sell and produce chicken. And we asked them, we said, hey, why is it that you don't claim your product is paleo or keto? And they said, well, everyone knows that chicken is paleo and keto. We said, a search engine doesn't. And so in that example, keto is a top five search term in the United States. And by merely putting that one word, ketogenic, sales went up 30%. And so this kind of idea that nowhere on the package would it say that that is ketogenic or paleo, we go to that and we call that a derived attribute, that which is true, but not explicitly stated. And this is the mental logic that a consumer goes through when they're reading and scouring a package and its ingredients to say, wait a minute, does it have this? Does it avoid that? And so when we say product attribute, it is the most granular understanding of a product that's possible, and we make it searchable.
You know, Todd, it always amazes me that consumers don't intuitively understand that water is gluten-free. But you know what? You're right. A search engine doesn't know that. And so helping to bring these products into the awareness part of the funnel, you know, the very top of the funnel, if you don't do that, then on a digital shelf, people aren't going to find those products because they are, to your point, trying to live authentic health-related lifestyles. So as we start to think about the impact of the pandemic, more consumption is taking place at home. So help us understand how brands can leverage these attributes, not only from an SEO perspective, but you know, from an insights perspective so they can analyze business. And, you know, what are all the different areas that these attributes, when applied to a brand's business, that they can touch?
Yeah, so I would actually start all the way back at the innovation cycle, right? I think it starts with what do consumers want, which has always been the age-old question. But today we have a lot of new signals. So we actually see the consumer search terms of what are they typing at top retailers. And for example, what we find is that 80% of searches on top retailers don't include a brand name. 80%, I'll say it again, 80% of product searches do not include the brand name. What do they include? They include attributes, which are basically signals of need, right? And that could be paraben-free shampoo. It may be low sodium or low calorie or zero calorie ice cream. And so those signals can inform a very different innovation cycle for brands. And so I think it starts with the way that brands can be formulated. I think we've seen all the challenger brands in recent years that come out with a very unique positioning against a very core need that maybe many brands just overlooked and thought that, hey, that's too small for me. So I think the innovation is one application. And so brands today can actually formulate in advance, knowing how is their product going to score at top retailer scorecards on their health and wellness, and know, oh, wait, this formulation is going to meet the mark or it's not. Then I think groups can use it for insight, additional insight of knowing, how do I compare versus my competition on all these things that are important to consumers? And finally, how do you get activation? And so how do people find you on the shelf? One way that we do that is we actually found that over 80% of brands fail to claim one of the top three most searched for attributes that their brand actually meets. So think of it this way. The consumer wants it. Your brand does it. But 80% of the time, you're not claiming it. And so that on the activation, we just connect that dot so that if you do meet that need and the consumer wants it, it's now there in your description online. So those are some of the ways that brands are using this data to power all the way from innovation to activation.
I love, Doug, that you actually went a little deeper than connected a brand to the attribute, et cetera. But there's also another ecosystem that we have in the industry, and it's actually called retail, which is how the conversions happen or the consumer actually gets their product fulfilled. But if I wore that retail hat for a second, you know, we've talked a lot about brands and the importance of attributes. Do they focus on a different set of attributes that are meaningful to them versus what brands focus on, which are the ones that you already talked to with that keto example?
So I love retail. And I think, so much of our world starts and ends in retail today. So what we found is that actually retailers are leading and are farther ahead than most CPG in thinking about these attributes on a more holistic basis. And so for retailers, this plays itself out in terms of the shelf tags that they may offer. Like at Target, they have Target Clean, Target Healthy, No Animal Testing. All of these are actually shelf tags that Target makes available and obvious to their guest. As well as within Target, we are part of what powers the Target wellness icon. So you can actually go on Target, select a product and see this is made for dry skin. This is for mixed skin. So all of those icons make it very easy for the consumer to find what they're searching for. And it really actually is better than the in-store experience because you don't have to look at the package. Target actually gives the consumer that vote of confidence right there on the digital shelf, as an example. We see retailers using this for category management. One top retailer used this to understand that they were meeting the plant-based trend everywhere except in frozen food. And when they looked at it, they're like, how is plant-based up 31% across the store? But at this category, it's only up 1%. They looked at it like, oh, we don't have any plant-based frozen entrees. So we had to change the assortment. And that's another way. I think in a very cool new way as a consumer, we're working with a very large e-commerce marketplace, and they're going to start powering their product replacements using a DNA match of the product versus allowing the picker to find the best replacement. So today, I'm sure we've all had our story about how we placed an order and something different got recommended or in our basket. But what this retailer is going to do is actually match not just on the category or the price point. They're going to match on the flavor profile, the nutritional profile, the caloric levels, and the need states. So if you order a gluten-free or dairy-free ice cream with only 400 calories per pint, that's the product that will be recommended and replaced. And it would know that you preferred a strawberry, not a chocolate. And so all of those, that matching to better meet the needs of the consumer is where we see retailers going. And, you know, with their great advantage with loyalty data, their ability to put this attribute data to really get to the next level of personalization is where we see retailers actually leading in the use of this.
You know, Todd, this is really terrific because I've talked on previous episodes about my biggest beef with online grocery shopping is that substitution impact. I've deactivated it on so many of my e-commerce grocery solutions because I've been so disappointed with what I've been given because it doesn't match what I think is a good substitution. Sounds like you've got some better science behind this that'll ensure that I want to turn this functionality back on so that I don't end up just getting nothing rather than an opportunity to get a great substitution. So that's really powerful. You know, I follow your site. I see a lot of the content you're producing. I'd sure love, because talking about all these things, I know you guys do a lot of research around the importance of these attributes in helping retailers and brands connect with consumers. What kind of insights are you focusing on right now to really showcase the transition, particularly during this pandemic time?
Well, we do love our research, right? We're all data geeks at heart, which I'm proudly wear the jersey on that. I think the most interesting one was we just did a report. We looked at the top 30 retailers, and we're trying to answer, if you're a person with a specialty diet or need state, let's say that you're have a peanut allergy. Let's say that you're on the paleo diet. Let's say you like vegan, right? All of these are very common. In fact, they're the top searched for attributes that people look for. So we looked at the top 30 retailers, and we said, how well do they shop? And what we found was actually that 95% of the products that were in inventory that met the need state didn't appear on the shelf. So said another way, the shelf was 95% empty for top consumer need states. Now, of course, people had products there, but for the consumer who typed in organic, that actually was better. 35% of the actually organic products appears on our shelf. So the organic shelf was 35% full. But if you go to things like keto, 99% of qualifying ketogenic products didn't appear on the shelf. And all that means is massive missed baskets and conversion opportunities. And so that's what I think the biggest research I found is as great as we're doing as an industry on really designing for consumer needs and building an e-commerce, there is a massive gap that is rather obvious, which is it's a top consumer need. Get them tagged right, and you're going to sell a ton more. And that's probably the biggest research that we just did in the last few months that I thought was pretty enlightening, because these are the top 30 retailers. This was not the long tail. So on the CPG side, the interesting research we did is we looked across the top, I don't know, it was like 1,000 brands, and we compared it against the top search terms for their categories. And what we found is that over 50% of the top brands failed to claim the number one most searched for attribute from consumers in their category. Again, I'll say it again. And again, I grew up in this way. Like, I'm a CPG marketer to start with, but 50% of brands didn't claim the number one searched for term. 80% missed one of their top three. All that just tells me is low-hanging fruit to figure out what do people want, I meet it, and optimize the way you're describing your product. So, but the complexity of that, just to make it a little bit, so, well gosh, are they stupid, or why are people not doing it? The answer is they change a lot. So in looking at skincare at Walmart, the top search terms in Q3 of last year to Q4 changed 90%. What people looked for in skincare at Walmart, Q3 to Q4, only 10% stayed the same. So part of that is it's consumers are fickle. They change very quickly. And so, but as you think about those two broad things, that just shows me big opportunity, because if you can get the system right to understand needs and tag the products that meet them, now you've got an ongoing means of building bigger baskets all around.
You know, a lot of those statistics, the 35%, fairly sends a chill up my spine. Also, more importantly, what it conveys to me, Todd, is it's a missed opportunity. And a missed opportunity, of course, in the world of search, unlike a physical shelf, you miss it, it ain't coming back. And even if you want it back, it requires, you know, quite a multitude of investments and an order of magnitude number to bring it back in the ecosystem. So thanks for patiently giving us those two examples with two different lenses. You know, we already discussed, therefore, you know, what how product attributes feature in an SEO search, because looks like that's what consumers are actually looking for. It's the attribute-based search. And obviously, we've declared, you know, not knowing up in search results is one of the most painful things that can be experienced. If you kept that in mind, Todd, what is your practical advice for both the retail side of the fence, where the consumer picks up the product, as well as for brands with their storytelling?
I think the practical advice is, like everything else we do in the world of retail and CPG, is you got to have a good, repeatable system for it. It can't be a one-time event. And I think a lot of people say, hey, great, let's tag it. But like in that example of the skincare, 90% changing month to month or quarter to quarter, I think the number one thing is, do you have a good system to be able to do it? And is it scientific? Many of these, I would call it attribute understanding or shelf tagging or badging programs are still done subjectively. We frankly have built the science behind it so it does scale and get faster. But some people are just still checking a box. The brand is submitting their package and they're clicking out the attributes so that it gets right across the retailer. Well, is that sustainable and is it scientific? What we've made possible, and as an example, we have a partnership with a very large product information management system. We will feed it automatically with all of the boxes that should be checked. And so what they say is you complete the information, it's accurate, it's scientific, so it can scale. And I feel like that's where we need to get to. So the advice I would give is make sure it's scientific and it's scalable because of that.
Thank you, Todd. That's great. And I guess my last question for this episode is, let's now expand that on beyond just the digital shelf and talk omni as a whole. So physical in-store, and because we still know that most food sales are occurring in the physical environment. Yeah, we've seen tremendous growth in digital sales, but physical is still pretty big. So what's your advice to brands and retailers about getting into making sure that they are leveraging all these advantages and the fact that all hope is not lost? There is a path to success here.
Yeah, definitely. It's an omni world. We talk to a lot of retailers and brands who say that the data they use for their stores is different than they use than their online systems. And clearly that's number one, which is build it omni, not by channel, which again, I think we've all heard a million times, but still exists. I think the second is, use this data to discover your blind spots. And if you don't know what consumer needs that people are searching for that you're missing, you should probably make sure you know that, because that's going to be relevant whether they're searching in the engine or whether it's going to educate how you package your product and what basic copy that should be on the package. So that's where I feel like this understanding of consumer needs pulled through all the way from the product to the shelf to merchandising is going to really help us, because this trend is growing exponentially. This movement that food is medicine, or new generation being even more hyper aware, this is only intensifying. My daughter is 18, and I was looking at joining this company a couple years ago, Label Insight. And I said, I don't know, though. Do you think this is a big deal? And she said, Dad, I only wear paraben-free makeup. And my sixth grader, she said, and Dad, I only do non-animal tested. Hello? And it just struck me that even a sixth grader was awareness of a product attribute. And I feel like for us, building this mindset that's what the new consumer has different values and a different lens that is much more finer pointed than what I certainly grew up in understanding in my generation.
I want to remind our audience that you can find all our content at cpgguys.com, where you can find everything from our work we did on profitability of omnichannel, all the way to our founders' Q1 and Q2 2021 episodes. And we'd love for you to rate and review us on ratethispodcast.com/CPGguys, since the show is really shaped by what you tell us you'd like to hear on it and from who. Todd, I can't thank you enough for appearing on the podcast. And can you take a second and just remind our audience one more time where they can find out more about Label Insight? Or if they want to engage with Label Insight, what's the easiest way for them to do that?
Yeah, easiest way, Label Insight. Just one insight, labelinsight.com. And easy ways to find us right there.
Also want to remind our audience that, of course, that link, as well as where to go to find Label Insight, will be available in the liner notes of this podcast. So if you check it out, easy click for you. Remember, this is a three-step partnership. This is just episode one. So we have part two and part three coming out, where we'll be decomposing a lot more about what Label Insights does and how it adds values to brands as well as retailers. And this world of product attributes and the way Todd explained it regarding search on the organic side and other searches, where he actually said more than 90% on one instance, where opportunities are being missed out, are extremely powerful words. Thank you so much for doing that, Todd. Peter, a pleasure week over week doing this with you.
Yeah, Sri, this was tremendous, because what we talked about today is how product attributes can improve the searchability of products so that consumers can live authentic lifestyles. It can be around health and wellness, and this is going to improve their experience both on the digital shelf and on the physical shelf. I am very excited about the next two parts of this series, because it really is about helping everybody find the products that meet their requirements. And it also helps the brands, because they start to understand what is it consumers are looking for, making sure that they can highlight those attributes, and it can help them do innovation, product discovery, and product improvement. Just really great value proposition for what Label Insight is bringing to the industry.
Thank you for that, Peter, because almost all innovation these days is discovered online, even if it's shopped offline. So it is a big, product attributes are a big deal, Peter, no matter what. You know, I know we spoke a lot about food today, but the reality is, no matter what category you're in, that's how consumers are actually looking for your products online. Folks, that's it for this episode. We will see you soon on another episode of the CPG Guys.
The content in this podcast episode is provided for general informational purposes only. By listening to our episode, you understand that no information contained in this episode should be construed as advice from CPG Guys LLC or the individual author, hosts, or guests, nor is it intended to be a substitute for research on any subject matter. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by CPG Guys LLC. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. The views expressed by CPG Guys LLC do not represent the views of their employers or the entity they represent. CPG Guys LLC expressly disclaims any and all liability or responsibility for any direct, indirect, incidental, special, consequential, or other damages arising out of any individual's use of, reference to, or inability to use this podcast or the information we present in this podcast.